they like, they can chant, they're under no obligation to chant. It's good if they have good spiritual input and and if they have inspirational guidance, parental guidance, then they'll naturally do it, especially when the parents do it, because that's what training children is about, is setting the example. If you don't have don't set the example, then you can talk. But so, really, for them, seems like you need to get, is the nanny involved in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
So that's important, because it seems like she's the one who fills in or is there a lot of the time. So, yeah, that she's also, you know, a day starts with a morning program. Is that the idea of going to sleep early and rising early. Children won't rise so early, which is okay, that gives you time to actually have a nice spiritual program, which means you have an altar and you chant japa, you read from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and you, if possible, you know, do some kirtan, sing some prayers. And those things they easily take part in, like kirtan, because it's an active thing. It's not a passive activity. That's their ID on there?
Yes, Maharaj. We still need to cut, we could not rip it off.
Oh, I thought if they got lost, you had them.
Oh, no.
And so that's sort of the beginning. And yoga, anything, not just yoga, but you know, any form of education, it's based on regulation. So when you go to school, you have to be regulated. You have to go to school at this time, you come back at this time, you have to study, do homework, and so on. So, and that's how someone progresses. So you want to get anywhere in anything, regulation has to be the basis. And that regulation should be there, that I chant at a certain time of day, that I chant a certain time, a number of rounds. And I'm telling you what the ideal is. You know, when you're flying around, you know, you're up at night, and it becomes something that really, isn't it, that your time is not so predictable as to when you're up, when you're working, when you're sleeping. But anyway, that's the ideal, that you rise and that we chant. Now, chanting 16 rounds takes 2 hours. And it's not always something that someone just does immediately, but rather that they build up. But whatever you build up, it's based on regulation. So if now you say, I'm going to chant 6 rounds, then I chant 6 rounds every day. If I want to chant in the morning, then I finish at some other time of the day in the evening or something, but I always do it. So, same thing, I'm going to read a verse of Bhagavad Gita, so that means every day I'm going to do it. And these activities then become self-developing. You get spiritual strength, you get inspiration, and you start to see where other time is available. So generally, you know, people in the world use their time for so many unnecessary things. They watch video, they watch TV, they go to movies, and all of these things not only eat up time, but they're very destructive. They're destructive not only spiritually, but they're destructive morally. What does children's entertainment generally about? Children play these video games.
Yeah.
But what's the video games about?
Right. What you're saying is about
the... No, but the games themselves,
yes. Mm-hmm.
They are about killing.
Okay. It's like fighting, driving rashly.
So this is satire society you want to be part of. The children's entertainment, it's not just fighting, it's killing. It's killing. Children's entertainment is killing. You have to be out of your mind to think that that doesn't have a bad effect, that later on, by the time children get old, they become adults. They become indifferent to the value of life. So, therefore, they become, which is one of the qualities of Kali Yuga, that's gone, they become merciless. Because when they grow up, that's the same kind of thing that they see, but even worse. So, entertainment is about intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and eating all kinds of garbage. So these are things that you want to keep away from. There are so many things that we do that are in one sense superfluous, and as you chant, it becomes obvious how you can chant more. So there's opportunity for it, and there's time. And of course, making or adjusting lifestyle in such a way that this is my priority. So everyone has, what's my priority in life? So materialistic people have, at best, family as their priority in life. But where's your family from your last life? Or the life before? So dedicate yourself to family from previous lives, and what's the result? No result. So that may be a responsibility that we have, but the priority of human form of life is self-realization only, and not other things. Other things are simply meant to feed us and to maintain a simple life, which is, of course, another aspect. As one chants, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, the heart becomes cleansed. As the heart becomes cleansed, one no longer feels a need for many of the so-called necessities of material life. Persons just satisfied with what I need, not with all the other things that I want. Why do I want to compete with my neighbors, live up to, you know, what my family wants of me, that they want to be able to say we have a big house with a TV in every room and four cars and so many other things are not important. It's sufficient to live in a place that provides us with all the necessities. So, just like, you know, what we ate, we ate according to our needs. People eat so many things nowadays that are so destructive, that cause suffering to so many animals, that then also harms the environment. So it's a simple lifestyle, keeping life simple and not getting too entangled. So that becomes another sort of natural perspective that devotees see, that yes, we should, our lives should be simple, so that we can invest time. Not that I don't have time to chant, but I don't have time for other things. So when you don't have the time, then cut the time from so many other things that we don't have time, and that we do have time for that which is going to make sure that I don't take birth again in the material world, so that I can go back to Krishna. So that's our real obligation.
And Maharaj, as you suggested me, like to start with the Srila Prabhupada's book, like I was taking the classes already, but since you have asked me to, I'm trying to read the Bhagavad Gita whenever possible. But if I try to read, and when sometimes it's this explanation comes, and then you know you have the, sometimes you understand it completely, sometimes you don't understand. In that context, how should I go about it?
Keep reading.
So
it will come.
Do you suggest me to move to the next shloka until I understand the first?
No, you just keep going.
Right.
You just keep going. You'll start understanding, obviously. It's a good topic for meditation, but don't get just stuck on one shloka for 6 months.
Yes.
Keep going. Thank you. You just keep on going, and it will come. That reading and chanting together, because chanting purifies the consciousness. So the more that we chant, the longer that we're chanting, we'll easier understand that which we're reading. No, just keep on going. You just keep going, and you'll be okay.
And also, whenever I'm on the flight, because sometimes it's like a long flight, as I'm saying, starting somewhere in the morning and ending the night. So, is it still advisable, like if you are doing a job, your mind is not there, you're chanting the name, is still advisable, or I should do it like, you know, when I'm sitting or doing properly, as in connected with the God or with the Krishna?
No, chanting you can always do. But japa is a different thing. Japa is meditation. So you can't be meditating on Krishna's name if you're doing something else.
Right.
So you're doing your work. If you're sitting down and not doing anything, if everybody's sleeping on the flight, then you can chant. Then you can either chant ardent beads, or sometimes devotees have these clickers,
right.
So then you can just chant on the clicker. That's all right. But then it's a meditation, and then it adds up. Maybe sometimes you chant two rounds here, and two rounds there,
yes,
and two rounds at that time. That's okay. But not that, you know, you're serving out and in your mind you're chanting. That doesn't count.
Right.
But it's good. There's no harm.
Right.
There's no harm.
And what do you advise to him? He's still not on the path of the spirituality, I would say. He's a good support, as I mentioned to you.
Prabhupada would hit him with his cane. I saw Prabhupada do that, talking about cane. I don't even know where my cane is. But I saw Prabhupada do that. Prabhupada was very... he was lenient with Westerners, but with Indian people, he was very, very demanding.
Like, we are blessed to be born in India and to have the excess of everything. But yet I realize half of my age is gone, that, oh, we were so not at time, we were not so lucky to actually enjoy or to actually have the blessing of the parampara. I mean, I feel bad for myself because it's half of my age is gone, and I'm kind of awake, thinking about it, like, you know, I'm thinking and thanking Krishna for everything. But this is the only thing which I want to instill in both of them, that, you know, because the time which is coming is even more complicated, even more stressful. So to having Krishna's support and the association of the devotees is very important for them as well.
Very stressful. And yeah, you should hire a teacher for them so they don't have to go to school.
Okay.
If they go to school.
That's true. Especially living in a Dubai. Dubai is like literally living in a bubble, not the real form of the world we get to see there.
But it's just, you know, any school that, you know, everyone's, all the children learn so many bad habits from each other. And there's a certain peer pressure. And that peer pressure was very strong, especially when they hit their teens. So it requires, by then, it would require that, you know, they're really being inspired and strong enough to not be influenced by bad examples.
Right.
You know. That's, and, you know, coming to Krishna consciousness is not an issue of faith. It's about transcendental knowledge. And there is so much to learn. There's endless Vedic literature to read. In a world where, living with so many branches of knowledge, and these branches of knowledge take a very long time to learn. But all these things, I don't know, physics or chemistry, so it's such a vast science, but that's just a very little part of Krishna's creation. So, realizing God is not the issue of just faith. You know, you don't become a doctor by being faithful. You become a doctor by learning anatomy and some of the other things. So that's why it's not just an issue that I have faith. And, you know, okay, Krishna is God, but we're here to actually learn, to know God and to love Him, and both of these require very serious, that's why it's the goal of life. This is what people are supposed to invest, just like how many hours a day do you invest going to school? You know, you're spending 6-8 hours a day going to school, primary primary school, grade school, high school, university.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. All for what? To eat. That's all. That's what it's about. Is you maintain yourself, you eat, you sleep, you have a house, and then you die.
Yeah.
A lot of effort to die. It doesn't require much effort. So, but that's what the end result is. So, but actually, all that time, this life, maximum 100 years, is actually for self-realization, because it takes so much time. It's a very serious thing. So that's why, living in the world nowadays is extremely complex thing. Even just living is a full-time job. Just existing is a full-time job.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're living in the desert. But it's people become very, very entangled. Just like the young people, don't get entangled. Don't get into all of it. Just keep it very, very simple and very, very minimal. Just you live by your deeds. When you're sleeping, when you close your eyes and go to sleep, it doesn't matter where you're sleeping. So you just need a minimal amount of space and maximize the time so that you can actually hear and chant and learn. So, for me, what can I say other than do it? I'm not telling him that he should, pull out his own teeth or something. Just like I read this article on South Pole. They have these little villages. Scientists are there, and then during the winter they're locked in there for I don't know how many months. So they had one doctor, but he was a GP doctor, and he developed appendicitis. So they got in touch with a surgeon, say London, and he had to perform operation on himself with the surgeon giving direction, watching, and him seeing in the mirror where everything is backwards. And so that's difficult. And he survived. He was successful. Yeah, so imagine he can't put himself to sleep.
Yes.
And then he could listen to the surgeon do it. So, yeah. So it's not a difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've done so many much more difficult things in life up to now. So it's very, and it just starts with one round. Okay, now we do one round, and it takes 10 minutes. But the effect of the chanting will give the spiritual strength, inspiration, and the purification for it to move forward. And really, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Guru na satsat, Janani na satsat, Pita na satsat, that one should not become a guru, a mother, a father, a teacher, a leader. Namo chayatya samupeti mrityum, unless he can deliver his dependents. So what is the purpose of having children? There's already so many. 5 million children started at the year on the planet. So why don't we need more? And what to speak of the fact that they're coming into a world which is not going to be a good world. It's going to have a lot of economic chaos and other problems like war. So what's the point of bringing, it's not just a biological need, that's what animals do, just by instinct, they have offspring. But bringing children is that now I can give the opportunities for these souls to become liberated. Namo chaitya samupritya, I have to give them the opportunity. Opportunity is all you can give, because you can never force anybody else to do anything. But that's the whole idea, that by a nice example, by good education, then they will get inspired for it. So, how much time do young people nowadays spend on these things? Social media, Facebook, and it's, there's nothing social about it. It's asocial. It destroys people's ability to actually interact with human beings.
So much of destruction.
And you must see it. I see it whenever I'm traveling or anything, that you got this family, and they're all sitting around, and everybody's on this. They're not paying attention at all to each other. They're not talking. They're not reading a book or something like that. So people sitting side by side, a family sitting side by side, and everybody's just on the internet. And it's like they don't even exist. So these are sort of the trappings of a materialistic society. We create these things, all of this is going to be so good, but the end result is that it's so bad. So namo chayata samapitya, that we don't entangle them further, but let them see what is the consequences and what the horrors are of the life that we live today. Of course, we have to see that ourselves. Like, for instance, what we eat. Why are we vegetarian? Why don't we eat meat? So, you know, we're not going to take children to a slaughterhouse. But if you did, you can be sure they'd never come close to meat again. But what do they know? People think it's just something else you buy in a grocery store. But that's not what it is. It's about slaughter. It's about murdering other living entities, and it's bad karma. As long as there are slaughterhouses, then there's going to be wars, because wars are men's slaughterhouse. That's where men get slaughtered. It's not happening for nothing. So similarly, to understand this social media, how destructive it actually is. And being constantly, you know, they spend 6 hours a day, that's the average. You know, teenagers, they spend average of 6 hours a day on this. It's constant. They're walking down the street. Yeah. They're not even paying attention where they're going. They're just, and trivia, but nothing of any consequence. Was life any better now than before these things, before mobile telephone?
Much better.
Previous
was much better.
Prabhupada wouldn't even use telephone. He would only just, if he wanted some quick communication, he would send or telegram, but otherwise Prabhupada just wrote letters. Didn't feel that it was necessary that, you know, same day I have to respond to something, or the same hour I have to respond to something. Life hasn't gotten any better. The quality of life hasn't gotten any better. And they say that, oh, but we've achieved so many things, and, you know, we've invented so many good medical inventions, but, and are the hospitals empty? Are the hospitals empty? They're not empty. They're always full. And no matter how many you keep on building, they keep getting, they're all full. Hospitals are all full. Why? Because people are just as sick. So, none of these things. Going here before, they used to move around in horse. When I first came to Hungary, and not here in Budapest, but when I was at the farm, practically nobody had a car. Everyone traveled by horse carriage. Now it doesn't exist anymore. And the village, which is next to the farm, they had no gas, they had no sewage system. Just thinking if they had electricity. They may not have had electricity at that time. I mean, we don't have electricity to this day on the farm.
So, but like, you know, completely distracted, then it's good that way, right? You're getting more time for the chanting, you're getting more time to think about the Lord.
Living and being sort of self-sufficient in this environment is not that easy. It's still a one season, one growing season. So that limits, you have to store things. It limits how much fresh food that you have, how much fresh produce you have. But still, you'll see, Mohan will explain to you. That's him over there, by the way, who's sitting with that computer. They will, the farm is self-sufficient, but it means a really simple lifestyle. You eat whatever grows. When zucchini ripens, and everybody eats zucchini,
yeah.
It isn't that you just have all these other things, then you eat zucchini. And, you know, for winter, what lasts? Potatoes, squash, pumpkins, then you eat a lot of these things for winter. No one will die, but you don't have the luxury of, okay, I'm bringing in, you know, mangoes from Gujarat. But, you know, you have the most experience. The only thing that grows there is dates and figs and camels and everything else, and you have no water. And everything else is brought in, or you have to desalinate. But can you drink that?
No.
Seawater? No. So that's just for other use. So everything is brought in. There are no trees, there's no anything. There's no metals, there's no mines, there's nothing.
A little bit of petroleum in the bank, besides that.
So, yeah. And we've got airplanes and cars, but what are we doing? In other words, what Prabhupada will give this example, okay, a dog is running on four legs, and you're driving with four wheels, what's the difference? What are you doing different than the dog?
Yeah.
So, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are the animal propensities of life, and if that's all that people are doing, so everyone's going somewhere, they're in a rush, but what do you do when you get there? What's the rush? What are you achieving? Or do you even know the most basic thing in life? Who am I? So no one gets taught that. I spent 18 years in education, you know, from kindergarten all the way up to university, and no one ever told me who I was. They would tell us what we should be, but not who you are. Now if I don't know who I am, that's like such a silly existence. The closest thing to me, the most important, is myself, and I don't know who I am. I'm still under the misconception that I'm this body, or that I'm this mind. But these are not, you know, I'm the soul or the consciousness within this body. So, but this is not, this education we don't get. Why not? And this was Vedic culture. This is what Gurukula is about. Brahmachari Gurukula Vasadanto Gurukula. That someone goes to Gurukula and they learn what it means to be a good person. They learn who you are, where the world comes from, who is the creator, who is the source of everything. So this is what education is really about. The Krishna says, education means knowing the difference between matter and spirit. So this is really what our responsibilities are, something to really keep in mind. I'm recording what I'm saying and I can send that to you. Okay?
Sorry?
I'm recording what I'm saying.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
And I can send that to you.
Yeah.
Something else?
How was your meeting? When was the first time you met Srila Prabhupada and what actually brought you to him?
I knew about Krishna consciousness, especially once I started going to university, because the temple was just nearby. But I didn't meet Prabhupada until 1975. So that was quite a few years after I became a devotee and I moved into temple.
So the journey started after that, yeah?
My real connection with Prabhupada was through devotees and like reading his books. We didn't have all the books then that we have now. Even the Bhagavad Gita we had was Macmillan's publication, which was actually a highly abridged version of the Gita. But still, that was sort of enough to convince me that, you know, I didn't want to be an engineer. I already had enough experience of that, working during the summer in different mills, but that I wanted to give Krishna consciousness to others, because I saw that this was reality. You know, my family were Jewish. Then I became Christian in Canada when my family left Hungary and went to Canada. Are you tired?
Just distracted.
She's
not tired.
You're very good, well behaved. And then I became Hare Krishna, but and then of course since then I've talked to leaders of any religion or every religion that exists on this planet. And no one has the faintest idea what life is about. They just don't know this basic question, who am I? They can't actually separate the spiritual identity from the material body. So some connection there is there. So my connection with Srila Prabhupada was then later, and of course Prabhupada left in 1977. So devotees who joined very early in 66, 67, they had a lot of personal association with Prabhupada. But devotees already joined in the 70s, like ISKCON was too big. And Prabhupada was spending a lot more time in India, a lot of time in India. So, yeah, it was... And I grew up there in Canada.
Okay.
And even when I was going to university, because I was married at that time, as I was going to university, Prabhupada came to Canada from America because he wanted to get a green card, but he had to leave the country in order to do that. So Prabhupada came to Montreal, and he was living literally down the street from me. I never met Prabhupada in all that time. And Prabhupada used to just take walks out to the campus and everything. When it was devotees I saw, they would come chanting. Prabhupada I didn't see, not there. So I didn't meet Prabhupada until years after I joined. And then first I saw him in Dallas, and then he came to Montreal, and then India. My poor granddaughter.
You know, you told me that you were planning this way, and I remember last time when we met Swami, we generally go with Govinda to Vrindavan just for like, you know, a routine of a year that we go to Vrindavan. Like last year we went around Kartik month. So this year also they were planning, but I had a word with Guru Rabhupi and she said they are planning to go to Mayapur when you are coming. So I was just thinking maybe if that possible, if I get my leave and everything falls in place, then maybe I would love to come and meet you in Mayapur.
Yes. Good time is winter. Very pleasant. December, January, February, November.
Right. I'll check with the Hilabhubi also and accordingly I'll communicate with you as well.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just because Emirates, we have to bid for the leave, and the leave has to be bid before 6 months.
Bid so, for it.
Yeah, it's like a bidding. Yeah.
And December is the month which November is.
This leave which we are doing now, I bid in December. Since January is the beginning, I got to know that I have the leave until July 15th. And now the second half of the year, the bidding will open now, so which will last until December again. So that's how it works. So we got to be lucky enough if we get those days. So
anyway, I'm there. I'm there from middle of October, and I'm not even going to go to Vrindavan. It's too hectic, too hot, too. Just stay in Mayapur until about usually the 10th of April, and then theoretically I come by through Dubai.
Oh, yes.
But so I'm there for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't go anywhere.
Last time did you get to hear about the floods in Dubai? Just right when you left, I think,
yeah,
after 3 days.
Just after. We just got out.
Yes.
That's quite amazing.
It never happened before in Dubai. We were also surprised. And I think the place where we were, I think that is the only area which was dry, but else the whole Dubai was literally flooding.
Yeah, global warming.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yeah.
This is the reaction
unbelievable, yeah.
to industrialization, to all of these things, which is meant to solve all of man's problems. I don't know what problems they wanted to solve, but, you know, to make life easier. Yeah, you can go outside on the swing. Yeah, industrialization and all of these things have a reaction.
Yeah, it's going in a very different direction now. I was just wandering one flight to London Heathrow, and we had a lady traveling with a so-called dummy's face, only the dummy face. She was in the first class, and they named that face Sophia. The body was in the cargo. And apparently, what we are assuming,
dummy face.
Maharaj is completely a human face. If you look at it, you'll be like, oh, somebody who's without the body. It's like AI they are calling nowadays, that they are running. So we are just thinking which way the world is progressing, which way they are going. I mean, of course, we spoke to that lady, and she said they were going to London Heathrow, and after that they had plans to go to Singapore. But she was saying that it cannot take over the human, but it's definitely in the future going to replace many things. So, and it has all the transparent sort of like, you know, brain and everything programmed. So they were going for some presentation.
And what's the point? But they still don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And the robot's not going to tell them who they are.
Right. These old things, like, you know, really scares me. I don't know which way we are heading, which way.
No, it's heading down. This is Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
Kali Yuga means things become worse and worse.
It is.
You know, this age lasts for 400,000 years, and then it's all downhill, so it becomes unimaginable what it gets. But all of these, you know, when Arjuna, Kandava forest was, you know, Agni had indigestion and wanted to consume the Kandava forest so that he could eat all the herbs and that would cure his digestion. But Kandava forest was protected by Indra, so Arjun and Krishna, well, it was just Arjun, but Arjun was there, and so he protected Agni, and so Indra couldn't harm him. So he would just burnt the whole forest. And afterwards, then they wanted to give Arjuna a blessing. And he said, you know, let me give you the yantra vidya. So yantra means machine, and vidya means knowledge, the knowledge of machines. So mechanical knowledge, which means everything. It includes computers and robots and people. So Krishna said no. He says, if you give that, then everything will be spoiled. So you cannot give that. So they had so many things in Mahabharata times. They had atomic weapons. They were able to travel in Vimanas and so on. But they had no factories. They had no machines. You know, they didn't have battles and tanks. They had horses and chariots.
Yeah.
So, keeping life simple, and this was what Gandhi wanted. He wanted cottage industries, not factories.
Mm.
Because for what you need, you don't need robots. Why do you need a robot? Even the theory is, well, they will do everything, and then men can do what with their time? What will they do? They're bored stiff. What are you going to do with your life? So there's such a thing as work. Work is a healthy thing. So Krishna says, guna karma vipagasa. Is that people have a varna. They have a quality of work. So what is your quality of work? know, people have a certain talent. Okay, my talent is I'm an artist. And now some computer is going to draw the paintings instead of me. Then what do I do? What do I do with my talent? Or my inclination, my adhikar, my qualification. So, yeah, no, it will go down. People are traveling in Emirates. What are they doing? Mostly, you know, tourism, some business.
Yeah.
And then, well, what does it mean? What is tourism?
Yeah.
What's the use of tourism? People from Dubai come to Hungary, and people from Hungary go to Dubai. Why? If Dubai was so good, then why did the Hungarians, the Dubais leave? And if Hungary was so good, what are you going to see? And they come and they take all these pictures. I can't figure out when people ever look at all these pictures that they take.
Yeah.
And taking selfies. But what is the point of all this travel? You have spare time, but you don't have spare time. You're wasting your life. You're dying. We are dying. You don't have spare time. You're dying. That's called death. So it's just a slow process. If you're lucky, it's a 100-year-long process to death.
100.
Now it's 100. 60.
Yeah.
For men. For ladies, it's more. Yeah,
I agree.
They live longer.
Well, I hope it's not the resting time for you. I mean, we are talking, we are on and on.
No, I was budgeted this time. Time is here for you. And, you know, in the morning, you know, it's 4 to 5, in the morning I write, then tomorrow I will go, then I go swimming, and tomorrow I will meet my cousin, and then I will see if he replied, what he's going to do. Whether he's going to come here. Originally we were going to eat there by the swimming pool, which means that I won't come here for lunch.
You are so fond of chocolates, so that's the best we could think of.
I asked for chocolate?
No, you are fond of chocolates.
Who's that?
So we got some of the finest which we could understand, got for you. And a small
tooth of love for my family. Who told you I like chocolate?
You don't know what we told me.
I never eat chocolate.
You don't eat chocolate? She said that.
I haven't eaten chocolate in 50 years. I mean, I taste it. I know a lot of people who do eat chocolate.
Yeah. When we met last year, Guru said that Maharaj eat chocolate. I said, okay, and that's how I got even in Dubai.
No, this is very nice. Milan, no.
We were just looking for some nice dry food, but we didn't come across with something really nice and authentic, so.
Italian chocolate. No, I'll tell you where that comes from, is that one devotee these look very nice. One devotee in Vrindavan, he lives in Vrindavan. He's not from Kashmir. What is the state? What is next to Kashmir?
Next to
Kashmir, east, northeast state of India.
Not sure if India is Jammu Kashmir, Himachal,
No, that's northwest. That's northwest.
I mean, this is Guwahati.
Sikkim.
Arunachal. Meghalaya.
And anyway, he was from there. So he would get me these mint every year when my birthday is, because that's on March 30th, and that's when I always end up being
right.
there,
yes.
in Vrindavan. And then I stay a couple of them, but that's the only time.
Oh.
I used to, my father was an importer.
Okay.
He was the distributor of Toblerone in Eastern Canada, in Western, Eastern Canada.
Right, yeah.
Toblerone
is...
So I had, you know, had a cold storage room big as this room. And I had my aunt, my mother's sister, she had a pastry shop.
Wow. So you had all the luxury at home.
I had everything.
Yeah. I mean, me and Hiram Gopi, because most of the time we do talk about you, so then I initially remembered, she told me that Maharaj loved chocolate. And I said, oh, really? And that's how, when I came to Arabian Ranches to meet you, I got the chocolate, but with the dates also. But this time I was like, she's like, yeah, make sure that you do take chocolate. So I said, okay.
Anyway, it won't go to waste, that's for sure. I will certainly try. Up until, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's time, and then up until around 2010, our understanding was that chocolate contained caffeine.
Yes, she did inform me.
And therefore, when Prabhupada heard that, he said, no, you cannot eat chocolate. But then, you know, devotees did a scientific study of chocolate and it has no caffeine.
There's no caffeine.
No.
Even I also read, like, you know, because there's so many chocolates in an Italian language, it was so tough, so I was like reading word by word what are they made up of.
No, there's no coffee.
Yeah.
No toffee. And it's coffee, yes. Tea, yes. But not, that's why Prabhupada said no. Coffee and tea.
Yeah.
Because of the caffeine, which is somewhat intoxicating.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, so, and then tomorrow, that's what I wanted more on. Now you arrange this whole program. Tomorrow to let this family get together.
And you said that on 18th you will be going back to the farm. So 18th evening we have a flight. So we were wondering if we go early morning that time to the farm and see you there and come back before.
Well, yeah, you'd see me there for, no, not evening, 4 o'clock is your flight.
4 o'clock is the departure, so even if we are on the airport at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock you need to be there.
Yeah.
And from the farm to the airport is 2, maybe 2.5 hours depending on traffic.
Right.
So you need to leave at, you know, 11:30. What's the point? The farm is not a small place.
Right,
it's
sure.
It's a big place. So it's almost 1,000 acres. You can't go everywhere, but there's a lot,
right.
There's a lot there, so that...
Maybe for the next time we'll keep it then.
Time-wise, yeah. On the other hand, if for some reason I also go back on the 17th, then that's good.
So we will be in touch with Mohan Prabhu and then we can check with him. Yes, for your plan.
We'll get him to come in here. And then you can speak with him. What will you do now today? What will you do for the rest of the day?
We have no plans, honestly, because we plan to only come and see you and to be with you. So we never plan anything.
Yeah, I will have to meet some devotees. Now I have
Hare Krishna.
Shri Mohan. And also meet.
Yes, yes, I heard a lot of nice things from you about you.
Thank you.
So, Wednesday.
Yes, good much.
So Wednesday we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you can just discuss that.
Yes.
Going down. I will let you know if we do anything. I mean, there's RT at 7, and usually the devotees will do kirtan in the evening. It may be hard to open.
Yes.
Yeah. So, kirtan in the evening. If I come back, I will let you know. Otherwise, tomorrow, then I will also be in touch. Once I know exactly what my program is tomorrow, because tomorrow Krishna Lila is coming here for lunch, and I'm meeting with Robert in the swimming pool, and then I'm trying to get him to come here also.
Mm. What about Sister Krishna Lila from America? A Hungarian Krishna Lila?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Hungarian Krishna Lila.
Yes.
You know her?
Of course.
Yeah.
Even my parents know her.
Yeah, so she's very old. And then my cousin, he's like a movie producer. And But he lives also in Canada, and he travels here.
Should we have exchange number from with you?
Yes, yes. After Maharaj, you finish
that. So I will go, and then I'll be in touch this evening.
Sure.
Now that I've got your info from Hira Gopi. Oh, I'm missing out on everything. Yeah, she's constantly writing me.